Welcome to Tip Tap Tip. My name is Eric.
My name is Rochelle.
Fuck, 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 fuckity, fuck, 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 fuck.
Why are you saying that?
All right. I was at the podcast meetup on Saturday afternoon while you... Actually, a couple things which happened. There's a few new people there, and we're trying to describe our shows to everybody else. So Daryl Cognito from Atomic Suburbia was trying to describe our show to a newcomer to the podcast meeting, a lady whose name I've actually forgotten. Just first time she showed up. He described us as a couple cast. Now I kind
of... What? We're not a couple.
Now, I don't know what to think about. When I think couple cast, I think, married kids talking about all their kids and all their sort of homey buddy stuff. And, that's all good.
Yeah, it makes it sound like a family program.
He says the difference between us and, like, most couple casts is we're not afraid to see the F word here and there. Fuck, fuck, fuck. Fuckity, fuck, fuck, fuck. All right.
We like words that rhyme with truck.
Exactly. And actually, I feel bad because, we were there and I think we really scared off that new lady who showed up.
Why?
She had shown up just to find out some more information about doing podcasts. She wasn't doing one of her own. And she's sort of interested in, like, these sort of knitting, scrapbooking type thing. She was possibly thinking about doing something like that. But the thing is, she was the sole holder of ovaries amongst a table of basically guys who were talking tech.
Why do you say that? The sole holder of ovaries.
She's the lady. The one lady.
I know, but that sounds funny.
She's the one lady amongst a bunch of guys.
But testicles are kind of like ovaries, but they're just on the outside.
Yeah, I suppose. But I think we scared her off. Just all the tech talk. And she left early. And I'm like, all right, well, guess it's the first and last time we'll probably see you. And that's the way that goes.
But she kind of, like, if she's doing a podcast by herself, like, it's probably important for her to know the technical stuff.
Yeah. I think we were just kind of talking not really tech in general, tech news, this and that. We kind of got off topic, and I don't think she probably really got much out of it as she should. So, sorry, lady. We'll probably see you never again.
Wasn't there a girl there one time before or something?
Yeah. Again, Eric, Mr. Bad with names. Lady who did a poetry podcast, but she wasn't here this time around. And actually, one thing I do want you to do is I want you to come with the next one, because I know that if you come out and we start doing our fucking stupid geeky voice shit, you'll call us out and you'll make fun of us.
No, I'll just go smoke.
Oh, you'll go smoke.
And this is when I exit.
See you later, fuckers. Yeah. So actually, this is the first show that we've done since we've got back from Vancouver last Tuesday. Rochelle's been busy, which explains why we haven't done any episodes this week. Rochelle is on the verge of reopening her salon, which was pretty much destroyed in her fire in March. But it's going to be reopening on Tuesday. The place is called Ime Harris Studio, for those listeners who happen to live in Calgary. And if those of you who are living in Calgary and are familiar with the 17th Avenue area, it is across the street from Tubby Dog and above Aluminum Planet. And we'll be opening on Tuesday the 11th.
So the address is 1019 17th Ave, and the phone number, 244-0608.
Area code 403.
Yeah.
Okay, so...
And it's looking really nice. Me and Eric hung up a shelf today that was probably the biggest pain in the ass.
Holy shit.
IKEA. I'm sorry. Like, they make everything look good, really good in the catalog, but then once you figure out how you have to hang it up, you die out of frustration.
Yeah. But...
I'm amazed we didn't kill each other.
I'm surprised. I was ready to strangle you.
I was ready to strangle you.
You were ready to kick me in the balls. I was ready to punch you in the tits. And just double fist. Bang! Right in the tits. But that didn't work out. We actually did. I did something really genius, and then I did something stupid.
Yes.
What was the genius thing I did?
I bought 4 separate shelves.
Oh, yes, yes.
And Eric's genius idea was to attach 2 shelves together.
So let's just describe them. They're kind of like a zigzag pattern shelves.
Yeah.
And there's 4, and the wall is a certain length. And Rochelle's ready to put up 4, but I'm saying, well, let's, you know, because I'm thinking back to my Lego days. I'm like, well, let's just put these pieces of shelves together and make a mega super shelf. And we did. We made 2 mega fucking awesome shelves.
So that was a genius thing. Yeah. But then we couldn't figure out where to put the screws in. So Eric's, well, we thought it was genius because I actually listened to you. Eric's idea was to put lipstick on the brackets right around where the screws, like where the holes for the screws were, so that we would, it would make an imprint, like a stamp on the wall.
So then we would know how to screw those in. And then put the things on.
Yeah, but
it just ended up making a goddamn mess.
It just got lipstick everywhere. And it didn't work. I mean,
it just smeared.
It did not work at all. No, and it didn't. It didn't rub onto the wall from it the just, screws, it, and then it got all over
my
hands
and the bright new white shelves, and I really fucked up. Actually, yeah. So after much swearing, after much bullshit, we managed to get 2 shelves up. The first one was kind of a pain in the ass. Second one, not so much.
Yeah.
So.
They're a little bit crooked, but nobody will notice.
Yeah, whatever. Fuck it. And I'm not changing the thing again.
Oh.
If people don't like it, they can go fuck themselves. actually, a lot has happened since we got back. Actually, one of the things which I should mention is on our last day at the. I may as well fucking say this. At the Sandman on Davie Street in Vancouver, I had to complain.
Yeah.
I had to complain. Again, the Sandman, Davie Street, Vancouver. We were there for 6 days, six nights, 7 days. I think that's, or whatever. We were there.
No, 6 days, because we weren't there that the first day.
Anyways. We stayed in the hotel 6 days, basically.
Yeah.
And a couple problems with the hotel. It was nice, you know, nice location, yes. The addition of the kitchen was quite a bonus, great. Yeah. The view was fantastic.
It was kind of like an apartment.
It's an apartment style.
You had the kitchen and the dishwasher and the wash machine and all that kind of stuff. But the thing is, when you're on vacation, you don't want to do dishes.
No.
That's what the maids are there for.
I
think we did like 1 load of dishes, but
But there was a couple of problems I had with it. One was the, well, it was, I found, I don't know about
shower.
You.
Shower.
Well, that was the second problem.
Okay.
First problem was I couldn't get the fucking heat if it was working at all. Like, there's a dial on the wall.
The only place where you could feel the heat was in that, it was coming out of the bottom of the wall.
Oh, was there was actual heat?
Yeah, but you could only feel it there. The rest of the place was cold.
Yeah. So, 1 strike against. Second, their internet was fucking slow as shit when I actually did manage to get it to work. Let me just put it in comparison. I've had faster dial-up. Just saying. Just saying.
That's so bad.
I could kind of surf web pages, and actually uploading the episode that we recorded in the hotel took like almost an hour, and that was
painful. Wow.
Painful. But the worst, possibly worst, was the plumbing issue. Now, there's a few things, you know, I may seem like a bit of a diva, like, you know, I need certain things.
Uh-uh. Everybody likes to wake up and have a nice, hot shower.
Now, at the
best, with some actual pressure to the shower so that when you rinse out your hair with conditioner, it actually comes out.
Yeah. Now, at the best of times, which was the first 4 days, it was warm.
Mm-hmm.
It was warm. That's all I got.
Yeah.
There's barely any pressure, but it was warm. Last 2 days, cold. Thank you. Thank you for making me have two cold showers.
And then the thing that I found interesting was when you were actually complained to that one lady mm-hmm. at the front desk. This is before we were leaving. Yeah. She said that there was problems with the plumbing. So it's like they knew that there was a problem with it, and they knew that everybody was getting a cold shower, and they didn't even say anything.
They didn't even address it to the people who were staying inside. No. So yes, we're aware of the problems. If you know, I don't know if that was a problem throughout the whole building, but if it was a problem, if there's a better suite, I think if they knew there was a problem, they should have offered to
move us.
Yeah, and I would have been more than happy. Again, the Sandman on Davie Street in Vancouver.
And then you know what I also hated. Were those stupid cards.
Yeah.
Like, you get into the elevator, and you can't get the elevator to move to your floor until you swipe this plastic card.
Which
I've stayed in other hotels that had those plastic cards, too, and they worked fine.
All the time.
Yeah. But no problem. This one, it's like, God, you got to stand there for, like, fucking 5 minutes, sticking this card in back and forth to try and get it to flash to a green light so you can actually press the floor mm-hmm. that you want. It's retarded. And everybody who was in the elevator at the same time, everybody had problems with it.
So in the end, when we were checking out, I addressed the problem to, I guess, the manager on duty. I said, you know, I was very happy. We stayed. I made it clear that we were staying there for 6 nights just to let her know that we did spend a significant amount of money to stay there.
Yeah.
And that we weren't happy. She offered to to give me some sort of voucher or whatever towards my next stay. I said, no, that's not good enough.
Because we're not going to stay there again.
Because we're not going to stay there again. Let me speak to the manager's manager. And I think, well, I didn't actually do that, but she went back and she spoke to the super manager of the hotel.
Which, you know what, that's pretty surprising that the manager actually didn't come out and personally apologize to you. Because
that was kind of
different. That is definitely, that's like, being the owner of a salon, that's the first thing you do is you approach the customer because they know that you have the authority to fix the problem.
Just hold on 1 second, please.
Okay. But I have to say that, like, the location was pretty awesome. Staying on Davie Street was really, really nice. All the restaurants around there and, you know, getting around downtown and stuff. Everything was fairly close.
So anyways, if you have any complaints to Sandman and Davie in Vancouver, if you stay, you can directly contact the super manager, Mrs. Susan Anderson, executive general manager. Telephone number 604-681-7263. Or you can email her at sanderson@sandman.ca. Let her know how much... your trip sucked. Actually, I did leave a bad review on tripadvisor.com. I will be posting a link to that on our show notes after we put this thing up. Actually, speaking of staying in hotels, Miss Mariah Carey has been traveling, and we managed to pack all our stuff in one gigantic bag, which, actually, I'll come back to the story in a sec. I hate your luggage. I hate that piece of shit luggage that you have.
Yeah, I know. It's because it has pictures of women carrying
and
stuff.
I look like a total dick when I'm carrying it. It's big and it's heavy. And there's no way to pack it full without going overweight.
I know. Thing. That's... Whatever. We bought new luggage on the way home because apparently if you're traveling... Like, I thought because it was the two of us that we could have one big bag and have it count for two bags... But they don't really care. They want it to be under a certain weight no matter what, even if it's for two people. So it's better to have two separate bags than one big bag.
So I think the cutoff was 50 kilograms. On the way there,
it was like 56.
And some guy, enough to let it go by. On the way back, it was 63. Somehow we picked up 6 kilograms of shit on the way back. I don't know how.
We didn't even get anything.
No, I didn't really get anything. And the guy was playing it by the rules.
They were going to charge us $42 because our bag was, nine?
And meanwhile, within eyeshot, there is a place selling luggage. So just Rochelle went over.
So I'm like, well, fuck it. I'm not going to give him $42 for nothing. So yeah. I went and got a brand new suitcase for $40. Oh, no, I ended up spending $90 and I got two suitcases. One... medium-sized one, and then one smaller one that can be carry-on. And they're pink.
They're pink, but still, even if I was carrying those, I'd feel like less of a dick than if I was carrying that other stupid fucking one. Yeah, I know they're pink, but, you know, I could just tell people I'm homosexual rather than just a...
Whatever. I got that other one at a women's show, okay? And when you're at a women's show, everyone's like, oh my god, that's so
okay,
cute.
Okay, let me describe this bag for you. It's large and it has... a pattern of like sort of.
You know what it reminds me of? The Pink Panther sort of cartoon style.
Of women sort of traveling, kind of look like sort of jet setter. Oh, I'm traveling, I'm fucking awesome.
And it's just like a whole bunch of women.
Yeah. I hate it. And I can't wait to, I can't wait to throw it in the dumpster.
It was my first suitcase I've ever bought.
I'm going
to
throw it
in. And I bought it because I was going to Holland and. I couldn't, like, the whole time I was in Amsterdam, I was just like, what the fuck am I doing with this huge fucking suitcase?
All I'm saying...
Like, I'm, like, carrying this suitcase onto trams and trains and shit, and it was a pain in the ass. I'm glad I got a smaller one, because I'm probably just going to throw the other one out. It's
all
too
I'm
big.
Saying is, don't be surprised if you come home from work one day, and it's just not there anymore. And
do you want to burn it? That'd be fun.
This reminds me
can
of...
Can we burn it, like, in the alley?
Actually, this reminds me of a suitcase story, which actually I've never told you. About 10 years ago, I was traveling to Victoria when I was dating a certain older someone who you know.
Yeah.
And
that was 10 years ago.
99, late 99.
So wow.
This before.
Amazing that she still tries to phone you. Stalker.
Stop it. And anyways, I didn't really have a suitcase on my own, but I just had like a gigantic suitcase. But it was one of those old ones, which didn't have like the sort of handle on the wheels.
Oh yeah.
And I you know, me being like a very sort of new traveler, packed fucking everything. And like, you know,
those things are a pain in the ass.
It was a pain in the ass. It was a pain traveling with it. It was a pain taking it on the ferry to Victoria. And in the end. I did get like I did get a new suitcase, that black one, which I sometimes travel with.
Yeah, that's a good size.
It's perfect size. And then I was standing, and then I decided to throw it out. And in her building, the walkways in the back, one of them overlooks a dumpster. And I just took the thing, threw it off the fucking balcony into the dumpster. I hated that piece of shit. And I think if our balcony was within throwing distance of that dumpster, or if I was stronger, I would just throw that fucking thing away. I hate it. It
probably wouldn't even wreck, though.
Yeah, I fucking hate it. Piece of shit.
Okay, anyways, Mariah Carey.
Anyways, Mariah Carey.
I just want to say Mariah Carey looks like a pouty dog.
That's my Mariah Carey impression.
You're making me spit my chips.
All right. Mariah Carey likes to travel too. Mariah Carey arrived in London's Heathrow Airport yesterday, ready for her X Factor performance tomorrow night. I guess I printed this story out on the 7th. The 7th. So a few days ago. The singer, who will be the theme of Saturday's show, arrived with 27 bags of luggage for her 3-day stay.
What?
27, 27 bags for her 3-day stay. It took two porters to load the 38-year-old's belongings into a waiting limo to be transported. A limo can hold 27 bags. All right, I guess it can. To load the 38-year-old's belongings into a waiting limo to be transported to the Stars Room at the luxury Dorchester Hotel. But Mariah didn't show any signs of worry about her performance as she posed for photographers in a pair of shades side by side with husband Nick Cannon. The star dressed down in a pair of leggings, a gray vest top, and a long cardigan for the flight. But she added a pair of killer boots to impress fans as she left the airport. Saturday night show, we'll see each contestant perform one of her songs. I don't watch the show. I don't give a fuck.
You know what? If I was someone famous like her, I would probably take one suitcase and then buy a whole bunch of shit in London.
Yeah, you're Mariah Carey, though. She's been known to be a bit of a diva, you know.
Really?
Oh, yeah.
Of course I know that. I'm being sarcastic.
Oh, you're being... Oh. All right.
Wow. Man, I can't stop eating these chips. They're so good.
I got that out of the way. Now, there's been this is a story which has been happening actually in Alberta, and I'm surprised this has not been getting bigger news than it is. It's really fucked up. Filmmaker who idolizes Dexter, you know the show Dexter?
Yep.
Who idolizes Dexter's TV show to appear in court on murder charge. Actually, there's two articles maybe I should
weird.
Read. Actually, I'll read the first article here. An Edmonton filmmaker who police say idolizes a psycho slasher television character is to appear on court today charged with first-degree murder. Mark Twitchell was arrested on Halloween in the death of Johnny Atkinger, an energy industry worker who disappeared 3 weeks ago. Twitchell, 29, is accused of luring Atkinger to his garage and killing him. Police edge, it's a scenario that resembled the filmmaker's latest project, in which a man is abducted, tortured, and hacked to bits. They say there's eerie similarities to the show Dexter, which often portrays victims as being abducted, killed, and then dismembered. Twitchell posted a Facebook request in August for actors to work free on a thriller short that was set to shoot at the end of September. So, let me just put this into perspective. The guy's a filmmaker, right?
Uh-huh.
And he's making a film about a killer who abducts, kills, and dismembers a person in a movie that he's making, right?
Yeah, so he's basically just, like, stealing the idea from Dexter.
But then he actually did it in real life. So, here's another article here.
That's fucked.
Police allege Twitchell, 29, lurched Brian Altinger to a garage in South Edmonton through a dating website with the promise of meeting a beautiful woman, and then killed him in a sequence eerily similar to the film he was making. That's... Talk about life imitating art, huh?
Yeah.
Yeah. In the film, the victim is lured to a garage through an internet, duct taped to a chair, tortured, and cut into pieces. Let's see here. Other details have surfaced in the past few days. CBC learned that he graduated from radio and television program at NAIT in 2000. Months later, he married an American woman and moved to Illinois. Yeah, so...
I think anytime you have a show that is about, you know, stuff like that, like even CSI, there's probably people out there who watch that show and think about copying, you know, like scenarios or whatever.
To me, the interesting thing is less the sort of similarities to the show Dexter, the fact that he's actually making a movie about this, and maybe he just kind of got caught up in this fucking movie and just went cuckoo magoos and just really lost it.
Or maybe the whole reason why he wanted to make the movie in the first place is because he was thinking about how he wanted to do it and then, like, realized that it wasn't just for the movie that he was thinking about.
He just really
it.
Fucking likes this.
That's weird.
Yeah.
There's probably, I'm sure there's, you know, like after Silence of the Lambs came out, there's probably people that, you know, started skinning people and trying to make stuff from them too.
Well, there's crazies all over, but like this one, like, you know, like it's been kind of crazy. And I understand with all the news about the
or it's maybe it's the same as like that dude from X-Files,
like David Duchovny.
Yeah, you know how he's like in that television show about him being a sex maniac, and now in real life he's a sex maniac.
Oh yeah, we talked about that a while.
Like maybe it's because you're thinking about it so much, you like dive into the character. Are the situation, and then you like it.
Yeah, or like maybe he was making movies. Wow, in making the movie, he's like, wow, killing really is pretty fucking cool. Cool. Well, I have this guy in this movie I'm making, and in the movie he's trapped in jail. Why don't I just really kill him for real? And then that was the end of that.
Yeah.
Crazy fuckers. And actually, I think one of the reasons we didn't hear about it was all about the whole sort of election thing. Which happened over the last week, and you know, everything kind of overshadowed that. Speaking of elections, I have a video clip here of a lady who really has something to say about President-elect Barack Obama. And yeah, this speaks for
itself. Say fuck Obama.
Now she's teaching her young child.
What?
Well, worse words than we can come up with.
Fuck Obama.
This kid is probably, I don't know, when do kids start talking, like, at first? I don't know.
I don't know, like, 3 or something?
No, younger than that.
2? I don't know.
I don't know, whatever. This kid's in the playpen.
Say, fuck Obama.
Fuck Obama.
Say, he's not my president.
Hey, it's a fucking president.
Say, he's not my president.
He's not my president. Say,
And to point out, this is not a big southern white racist. This is, in fact, a lady of color teaching her young child. Apparently, she was unhappy with Obama's election to president. So, I don't see where this is coming, but here we go.
I don't consider him the first black president of the United States of America. Fuck. He's the Antichrist. And world domination is upon us. 666. The mark of the beast will be in the head. And all of you people that voted for Obama will be sorry.
So obviously she's a McCain supporter. Or maybe she just didn't vote at all.
I don't know.
Anyways. Poor little kid.
She seems, psycho.
Oh, yeah. It gets better.
Barack Obama is not our president. He's not the first black president.
Yes, we heard that.
He's not even black. He's Muslim or Arab or whatever. His mother was white.
Actually, his father was Kenyan. His mother was white. So,
yeah,
he's more African than most people.
Than Bush, yeah.
He has more ties to the motherland than this lady does, that's for sure.
Mm-hmm.
I do not consider him the first black president. He was put here as a plan. You think McCain knew? I mean, you think McCain didn't know that he was going to lose? Of course he did. Everyone that was in on the plan knew from day one that...
Rochelle, I have to admit, I was also in on the plan.
You are the top scammer.
Me and the rest of the Illuminati and the rest of the Skull and Bones and the rest of the other Freemasons were all in on it. We're responsible for Barack Obama winning. We're also responsible for electing Bush to a second term and a first term.
Mm-hmm.
We're also responsible for Kennedy. Yeah. And all the other bad things in the world. Just letting you know. And she found us out.
Now and she's smart.
Now we're going to have to make you
disappear. It's a good thing she made a video about her thoughts, because she's so smart.
Now we're going to have to make her disappear. See what happens when you know too much, lady?
I want to hear more. What else is she
going
to say?
Okay, baby.
Barack was going to be president because it's a part of the bigger picture. They're going to use him as a scapegoat. But he's either so dumb he can't see that, or he's in on the plan. And all of you young black people that voted, they say that this was the first year so many young black people voted. I mean, you black people are being brainwashed. Everyone's being brainwashed. Even the white people are being brainwashed.
Whoa.
I think she's high because she keeps on rubbing her nose like a coke addict does.
Yeah, it's just something.
Yeah.
Because how come Barack had like 200 nominal votes and McCain had like 80? That's retarded.
Actually, he ended up with, don't quote me on this, but he, and once the election was finished, he had 350-ish or 347. McCain had 100-something. So get your facts straight, lady. Okay, cuckoo, go on.
He's brainwashing you, and you guys are believing it. He is the Antichrist. And like I said, they're using him for a bigger plan. They're gonna make more war, more taxes. Nothing's going to change. And he was just elected, so you stupid black people would think that you're making a big change.
Again, pointing out that she is a lady of color, speaking to, I guess, the rest of the black community in the United States, who she doesn't really feel an affinity with.
Mm-hmm. In the world, but you're not. You're just going to be set back even further when the 4 years are up. You guys are going to be sorry that you elected Osama Hussein for president, but he's not my president. He is the Antichrist, which they said the Antichrist will be a great speaker. He will be loved by many. Okay?
Okay.
What else did they say about the Antichrist?
And that's the end of that. So I guess she's drawing a lot of this from the Book of Revelation, and she's mixing it up with her own sort of cuckoo ideas about conspiracy. So,
you know, the Book of Revelation, I think, is probably the hardest book of the Bible to interpret.
Yeah, because it's just... it's all over the fucking place.
Yeah, and I mean, even...
people get their own sort of spin on it. And yeah, it's steeped in allegory, and it's not like very, like, sort of straightforward. It's just...
and so many people have made predictions of you know, somebody being the Antichrist, such as Hitler. And the world didn't end after Hitler, and he was probably, you know, he was pretty evil.
Hitler and Stalin was pretty bad.
Yeah.
But apparently, this woman has it all figured out. And, you know, me and the boys from the Illuminati and the Freemasons, we're just going to have to make her disappear. Like, she never existed at all. You just know too much, lady. You just know too fucking much. Speaking
you
of election...
too much.
Here's... I just can't find what I'm looking for. Oh, yeah. Here's I think I told you about this before, you know, Sarah Palin, who was up for vice president.
Yep.
Now, there was a porno movie.
Is this Nailin Palin?
Yeah. But Ricky Gervais and Thandi Newton are going to reenact the first minute of the script, and they're just going to read it.
Nice.
Listen, I don't remember on the internet, a couple of weeks ago, there was a genuine ad on the internet, on one of those, you know, listings things, and it was basically making a porn film using a Sarah Palin lookalike. There's an update, ladies and gentlemen. Such is the high standard of porn. The film has been made already. And this week, there's a website that claims to have the script, right? You've been offered most things, no? I was offered a role doing the office as in a porn film called The Orifice. That's not true. You wish it was true.
I had a cameo playing Condi Rice.
In the film?
Mm.
Actually, Condi Rice does show up at the end. No, I swear to God, she really does. No, at the end, there's a bit where there's a kind of a lesbian action with Hillary Clinton. And Condoleezza Rice walks in. Did she look like me? You're not letting that go, are you?
No, I'm not.
Because I just caught a glimpse of myself on the monitor and I thought, who's that fat lesbian? well, listen. We've got...
He's fucking hilarious. He is pushing up his boob fat to make boob cleavage and licking it with his tongue.
That's the only clip they'll show of you on the show.
When I die.
Yeah, at the funeral. Yeah, slow montage. And both. But listen, we've got the script, and it's full of gems.
Scene, couldn't we? Me and Ricky.
Oh, no, I can, Jim. No, wait. Here is a scene. Now, it's quite innocent. So she's called Sarah. Mm-hmm. Sarah, as in, if you be Sarah...
Why are you saying like that?
Who's that girl?
Like, she's Thandi Newton. She's an actress. She was in, she's been in a few things. Of which I really can't remember right now.
Yeah, I recognize her.
Yeah.
Backward. What are you doing?
No, it's not written.
They changed her name for legal reasons.
Oh, I see.
You see.
I see. Sorry.
Right.
I'm sorry.
Yeah.
You were the business partner. Okay, so I'll read the stage directions. Sarah sits across from him. She's holding.
She's got a much bigger part than me. I'm not doing this.
You've got loads of
You've got loads, okay. Loads. Okay. So Sarah sits across from him. She's holding a brochure for the latest snowmobile model. Go.
What do you say, handsome? How about you and me take one of these babies out for a test drive, yeah?
I'd love to, Sarah. But with your husband out of town, I'm afraid I just feel a little funny about it. I mean, after all, the man's my business partner.
Oh, for criminy's sake, why don't you take your nuts out of your little Gucci purse, grab your noodle and act like a man?
This is great. Listen to my line. I don't know.
Next direction. Sarah unbuttons her blouse. We'll take that as read.
Well, before you and your boyfriend Lance Bass head off to the next Clay Aiken concert, why don't you feast your eyes on Mama's jugs?
She lifts her skirt and starts rubbing herself through her panties. Yeah, leave it. Okay, that's red.
It's time to drill, baby. Drill hard and drill deep. Oh. Come on, you tree-hugging hippie. What are you waiting for? Congressional approval?
The business partner walks up to her and unzips his pants. Sarah licks his lips and grabs his penis. We need to finish, obviously. Go.
Better get ready, Santa, because Mama's about to melt the North Pole.
That was very good. I love the fact that they're sneaking in satire. Oh, no, yeah.
Like, if it wasn't a porn film going, brilliant. They've sort of like global warming. This is absolutely brilliant.
It's true that the political situation has affected even the people that wouldn't normally be affected, as you can see there.
Yes. Even wankers are thinking about it. It's true. Yeah, it's very true.
Anyways, following that up, I actually have the first minute of the film. Don't worry, there's actually no pornography in here, but you can see exactly what they were talking about.
Okay. So it's the same dialogue, though, right?
I think they were talking about a different scene.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Jeepers, crumpets, who could that be?
Juliet, we hate to trouble you, but I'm afraid we have a flat tire.
Okay, so there...
We were wondering if we could use your phone to call the Kremlin.
Oh, I'm sorry, fellas. I don't speak Russian.
Kremlin. It means... How do you say?
Tall truck.
Well, in the spirit of foreign relations, I'm sure there's no harm in me letting the two of you in. Come on.
So the phone is Russians.
Right. Yeah, because in one of her interviews, I guess a few weeks ago, or actually a month or so ago, when she was being interviewed by Katie Couric, she had mentioned the proximity of Alaska to Russia, which is actually pretty close, technically, because it's just the Bering Strait, which isn't really that far, because the very top northeast tip of Russia.
Yeah, isn't that where originally people...
Yeah, like the Native Americans kind of crossed over and then moved down to North America.
Come on. The phone is right there. Can I offer you boys a drink?
No, thanks. We are already pretty drunk.
But you need to make a call.
Nice cleavage shot.
Zoom in on the cleavage and the American flag pinned right next to her boobies.
On her lapel.
Aw, how patriotic.
You know, if I could rearrange the alphabet, I would put you and I together.
If I didn't know any better, I'd think you boys were flirting with me.
Excuse me, but I think I dropped something. My job.
Hey, you just tried that move on me, like, and then, you know, sex happens. You tried that line on me earlier today. It's like, I think you dropped something, Eric. I'm like, what? And then, like...
But it didn't work, though.
Did not work. And here's a
Oh, what's that noise?
It's my fucking cell phone. It's
gonna, well, okay. Why didn't you put your fucking cell phone somewhere else?
Now the battery's taken out and we can go back.
It's so irritating. I feel like I'm getting like an electric shock in my ear. Sorry.
All right. Here's a song which we learned about last week from Sean. You actually know the words?
Yeah. Is that what it's going to say? Kleiner Eisbär aus dem Stau.
I speak
all languages.
How do you know? Kleiner Eisbär.
Well, it sounds like English, right?
Not to this dummy.
I don't know.
All right,
so it's a really cute little video. It's a tiny little polar bear, a baby polar bear, and
they're playing around with it. And there's a stupid fucking thing. Okay, I'm done with that. All right.
I like it. It totally is a catchy song. Like Sean and Jessica were saying that song would get stuck in your head, and I definitely agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. That's right.
As I put my sunglasses on. Yay. Again.
Yeah. Halloween, we missed it.
We didn't miss it.
Well, we didn't really.
We just didn't dress up, but we were at a party where other people dressed up.
Well, actually, wasn't
and really, we fed them alcohol.
It wasn't really a party. It was just we were at a couple friends' houses, and I brought the biggest fucking bottle of rum.
Yes, because Eric always thinks that he can drink, and or that he needs. He always thinks he needs more alcohol than he actually does.
Because when
Eric bought probably four times too much alcohol.
Because when I buy it, when I'm going alcohol shopping, I'm always thinking, well, what if we run out and I'm having a really good time?
Sometimes that does happen.
You know, I don't.
But with hard alcohol, it's so different because you have to think. Every time you're pouring a glass, you're only putting one or two shots in.
Yeah, there's really no.
It's not like you're drinking, you know, like beer.
Yeah, I guess there's really no reason to buy a 1.17 liter. Bottle of what the fuck did I buy? Rum.
But you know what? It's fine if it's at home. We still have our huge 2 liter bottle of rum.
Like 2 months ago. 2 months ago on my.
And it's kind of nice to have that. But I can't reach the shelf though.
Yeah, that kind we of have sucks. A bottle of Crown Royal that I bought. But yeah, I have a bad problem.
That's what I got.
That you got, yeah, got when you went to the thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I have a problem with buying alcohol because I buy it like. I'm going to be storing it in like a nuclear bunker, and like it's like the last alcohol I'm going to be having in a long, long time.
Well, the fact that in Vancouver, all the liquor stores close at what, like 8?
Yeah, seriously.
Stupid fucking rule. Same in Toronto. It's so fucking stupid. So
because the government should tell us when we should drink, because if they close alcohol stores earlier, then of course. Less people are going to drink. People will always find ways to drink, whether that's through, buying it like me, like ridiculous sized, or, getting off sales and getting ripped off.
Or buying Listerine.
or if they want to get high, huffing spray paint. People.
It's like no matter how much the government tries to stop people from doing shit they don't want them to do, if people want to do something, they'll fucking do it.
Yeah, so really, seriously, British Columbia government.
Ooh, like, can we talk about that movie that we watched, that Harry Potter movie?
Oh, yes.
I had never heard of it before.
We went over to a friend of mine's house, and he...
We tried some...
Some stuff. And anyways, he had this movie, which was, I guess, the first Harry Potter movie, Harry Potter and the... Sorcerer's Stone or whatever, right?
Yeah.
But with entirely new narration, so they've taken out the dialogue and all those sound effects. And actually, I wish I would have had a clip for this, but maybe I can cue one up. And
So it's this guy who makes animations. You can see his animation. What, I don't remember what his name is.
I don't.
This is bad. But anyway, so he makes these animations, and he basically like voiced over all of Harry Potter, and he actually went to the extent of changing the story.
So here's the...
And it amazingly, with the visuals being the same as the original one, the story still worked.
So here's the first chapter, which I just actually queued up on YouTube. And start playing. And we'll get some of that.
Any changes, Privet
Dry. The ominous fog makes the nighttime even more hoary and mysterious than usual here in suburban Britannia. Out from the shadows of God knows what dimension steps the oldest wizard in the books, the near-dead Dumbledore. He is clearly a powerful beast and walks with dignity despite his age and attire. He sees a cat that he knows right before he sets to work. He produces a wizard's tool known as the Street Darkener, and with a practiced angling of the arm, begins to siphon away the clarity made from mankind's bulbs. Magical deeds are afoot, dear readers. Magical darkness, a must. The atmosphere complete.
The name of the narrator is Brad Neely. That's last name is N-E-E-L-Y. All right, on with the first chapter here.
The cat, now protected by shadows, transforms into who else but Professor Hardcastle McCormick, an old friend and ally of Dumbledore the Half-Dead. She is truly a great wizard also, and possesses many a skill that might aid in tonight's random errands. They speak gravely of tonight's horrible decision. And dear readers, trust me, their work tonight is dubious. What are they to do? Are they really going to go through with tonight's desperate plan? The choice is clearly in powerful hands, as Dumbledore ponders with his gigantic brain. Just then, a light approaches in the clouds. Shredding through the stratos descends no other than Hagar the Horrible. A huge man that, if you didn't know better, you may mistake him for a giant hairy truck. He is Dumbledore's gopher, and now perched upon his sky leopard, Hagar seems at the end of an errand that almost bested him. But lo, out from his manly pape, he produces the most powerful baby in the universe. Dumbledore accepts the swaddled child like the delicate button of an atomic bomb. His bowels tense. No false moves here. Hardcastle McCormick pleads with Dumbledore not to go through with the plan. What plan, you ask? Well, they are going to leave this veritable weapon of the gods, this paradox of babiness and power, right here on a frickin' muggle's doorstep. But shh, says Dumbledore to the baby, and shh, he says to the lady, as Hagar gnashes his teeth in inner conflict and almost drowns in snotty, fearful tears. His master Dumbledore tells him to wait in the frickin' car if he has to. And the baby is left. The baby with the most telling of scars. The baby that is the seed of power. The baby that is the inheritor of the horrible, hoary hammer of the gods. Harry, the wizard who is destined to vanquish all evil, and if he so wishes, brings it back again. Harry Potter and the Sorcerer's Stone!
Wow. Unfortunately, the movie, because it basically is an entirely new narration, isn't available other than getting it through illegal means by downloading it off the internet. Yeah. It's fantastic. If that three-minute clip should show you, imagine the whole movie with that narration.
Yeah. And I think it's better too because, like for me, because I've read the books well, not all the books, but I've read that book and then seen that movie and stuff. So I know, like, if you're familiar with the original story, it's even better because then you are aware of how he's changed it and how he's changed the characters.
Yeah.
Like, I really like how he names Ron the Bear. Ronnie the Bear or something, and like the redheaded kid.
Oh yeah, Ron.
And he totally makes him into like this cocky little kid, but like in the actual movie, he's kind of like the clumsy, like geeky kid.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Anyways, the name of the film with the new narration is called Wizard People, Dear Readers. Yeah. Just do a Google search for Wizard People, Dear Readers on your favorite BitTorrent site. And oh, Rochelle's just made me aware of something. Making your good times even better. So we're gonna wrap this motherfucking fucking show fucking up.
Yeah.
Because we're hungry and it's late.
Partner.
And we're gonna because we're hungry and we want to eat. So, anyways, 206
mac and cheese.
So, anyways, 206-208-3918. Is the number for our voicemail. Leave us a message, and you can be cool as this guy.
Hello, this is Christopher Walken. My friend, Sean Connery, gave me a number. I checked that you sold. I'm impressed.
Maybe we shouldn't take this all the time.
Why?
Because maybe people might find it irritating.
I'm sorry, that makes me laugh. But, you know, if you really want to get those on your show, maybe one time... Maybe I come on instead of those two clowns, Shane or Mason. I might have a show. Either way, I think we should do business. Give me a call. Bye.
All right.
Okay, I just have one more thing to say. Today is Sunday.
Yeah.
And it is somebody's birthday.
Oh, yeah. All right, totally forgot about that. Happy birthday, Mason.
So, okay. 1, 2, 3...
I'm not fucking singing.
Go, come on.
No, fuck that. I'm not singing. No.
Okay, fine. Sorry.
Happy birthday. I'm not singing fucking birthday.
Happy
birthday. No.
We're not
2-year-olds here.
Whatever. I like when people sing me happy birthday.
I like it when I just get presents and they spare me all the bullshit. All right.
Yeah, but we didn't give him a present.
I was going to get him a present, and I actually was looking for it, but I couldn't find it. So as soon as I find it, I'll pick it up and I'll get it to him.
Okay. So. Okay, that's it.
All right. Anyways, 206-208-3918. Info at tiptaptip.com is our email address if you want to send us something there. My name is Eric.
My name is Rochelle.
And we're out of here. It's hot dogs macaroni time. Bye. Wizard people, dear readers.